A priest and a rabbi are having a conversation. The priest says to the rabbi, "Tell me, why is it that a Jewish person always answers a question with a question?" And the rabbi says, "Why not? Why not? Why not indeed? Why not wonder more than we know? Why not seek more than we find? Why not stand in the presence of all that we do not know and find ourselves to be perfectly content and perfectly at home? Why not? Why presume there is an answer and further presume that we are the only ones who know it?" I don't know about you, but when I have a conversation with people about religion, in fairly short order, they will always get around to asking me some version of the eternal question, namely, "What do you believe?" No matter what the presenting issue is, the nature of God, the purpose of the church, the latest quasi-religious political debate, everything comes back sooner or later to, "What do you believe?" As if belief is the very factor that defines and delineates not only my religious practice, but my very self. As if knowing what I believe defines me so clearly that no other question is really necessary at all. And I can tell you without a doubt that what I believe about most important things, about God, about the church, about family and parenthood and relationships and ministry, what I believe about those things is nothing but the palest reflection of the whole truth of them. What I believe is just a glimmer in the darkness, a contention founded on the best information I've got, a humble net of silken strands always being broken, mended, and built anew. I am not what one might call a true believer. At least not in the traditional sense. I don't believe that I or my community has the answers or even that we are the best or most correct church out there for the finding. I am not among those called to a particular worldview that they assert will save them in the end. And if you have a litmus test for whether or not I will get into heaven based on any particular assertion of faith, I will probably not pass. Which is exactly the way I want it to be. But I am religious. Deeply and gratefully religious. Religion, as I understand it and as I define it, knowing that your definitions are different. Religion practiced as we practice it here and lived as it is lived in congregations both near and far is at the very core of my being. I don't know where I'd be without my church, without my religion, without my home. I am religious, but I am not a believer. I am religious, but I am not a believer. And in our common cultural discourse, those two sentences are rarely seen to go together. A person is generally supposed to fit into one of two very clearly delineated categories which blur political and religious identity in uncomfortable ways. A person is supposed to be, in our culture, either a liberal secularist or a conservative true believer, and the caricature thus developed is supposed to fit the greater portion of people in our society. But it does not fit me. And I would venture to guess that it does not really fit quite a number of us. Yet too often, even we buy into this dualistic cartoon version of faith and identity, and I am dismayed, utterly dismayed, that we Unitarian Universalists so often willingly collude with those who conflate religion and the fanaticism of the true believer, as if they are one and the same thing. No doubt many of us have read or have encountered the work of Sam Harris, who wrote an atheist call to arms titled The End of Faith. I've been bothered by his work for a while, and I could never quite put my finger on why, because most of his contentions are not things I fundamentally disagree with, but I think finally I might have it. See, he, along with so many other new atheists like Richard Dawkins and Bill Maher, whose show I watch in turns to be both amused and infuriated, all of those people have gone on the attack against what they correctly perceive as the rise of fundamentalist religious power in America and around the world. Religion to them is the cancer that eats away at our ability to make thoughtful and reasonable decisions. It is the mighty force that causes us to hate one another. It is the foolishness that holds the world in thrall. In The End of Faith, Sam Harris writes, "Religion is nothing but bad concepts held in place of good ones for all time. It is the denial, at once full of hope and full of fear, that the vastitude of human ignorance." He goes on to say that religiosity comes down to a collection of, quote, historical and metaphysical propositions. Now, I must assume that the historical and metaphysical propositions on which he believes religion is founded are propositions in which he does not believe. I suspect that most of the propositions he's talking about are propositions that I just so happen to not believe in either. Things like an all-powerful God, the reality of Jesus' resurrection, reincarnation, an angel directly dictating the Quran to Muhammad. Those are the kind of propositions that, to Harris, constitute the very definition of religion. And those are the kind of propositions that bear reputation, because in his words, nothing is more sacred than fact. Now, I would also note that, for the most part, the new atheists like Harris, Dawkins, and Bill Maher have no qualms whatsoever about declaring religious people to be delusional fools, held under the mesmerizing force of a manipulative and all but monolithic entity called religion. Here's the problem. And here's where I show you all of my cards and count on a lively polylogue. Sam Harris has no idea what he is talking about. And neither does Bill Maher. Listening to the new atheists talk about religion is like listening to somebody who can barely do long division lecturing us on multivariable calculus. Or, to be somewhat less catty about it, they don't know what they're talking about because they have a fundamental misunderstanding about what religion actually is, and they haven't practiced religion enough to see anything but their limited viewpoints. The fundamental misunderstanding of the new atheists is ironically the same fundamental misunderstanding held by religious fundamentalists everywhere. That is, the common misunderstanding that religion and belief are the same exact thing. They point to religion as the cause of human fanaticism, declaring the great evils done in the name of faith, and posit that if religion would just up and disappear, we would all get along a whole lot better. The problem is that much of what they blame on religion isn't about religion at all. It's about the tendency among human beings, both secular and religious, to become true believers in just about anything that speaks loudly enough. In his book, The Religious Case Against Belief, James Karsh poses an interesting, and at least to me, compelling distinction between religion and belief. He reminds us, first of all, that there are religions without organized belief systems. In this category, he includes Buddhism, which in most forms has no creed, but rather a series of practices, and Judaism, which has never had a creed. For more than its 3,000 years of existence, it has never had much of that time any temporal power at all, but rather a transcending cultural connection and a tendency to answer a question with a question. To this list, I'll add, though I am always hesitant to be so bold as to label us one among the great world religions, I will add Unitarian Universalism, which has baffled people for hundreds of years in our steadfast refusal to have any creed at all, and our even more steadfast refusal to come up with a clear answer to the aforementioned eternal question, what do you believe? While people may sometimes question our religiosity, while people may sometimes question whether we're a church at all or a religious organization at all, nobody routinely questions whether or not Judaism or Buddhism can be counted among the pantheon of great world religions. So it can quite safely be said that there are religions without organized belief systems. Likewise, there are belief systems that are not religious. Marxism and fascism come to mind, for instance. There are religious groups that function largely around a certain belief system. Assert this, and you are out. And there are religious groups that function largely around a way of living, or a commitment to a community, or a liturgy, or a story. Within Christianity itself, within each specific Christian denomination, there are groups which are centered primarily around a shared belief system. And there are groups which are centered primarily around something else. Any number of things, really. Cultural similarities, a particular form of worship, a commitment to service, or a Friday night potluck dinner that is too darn good to resist. Whatever. The point is that belief, a set of historical or metaphysical assertions, isn't really the determining factor for whether or not a person or a group of people is or is not religious. There are all kinds of belief systems in this world, most of which are not attached specifically to religion. Likewise, there are any number of belief systems that exist within each and every religion, most of which conflict directly with each other, and which make it impossible to attack any one religion, let alone religion as a whole, as if it were some monolithic thing. Discounting the value of all religion because of some manifestations of religion that twist it into a rigid belief system is like hating your third grade teacher and determining that all educators are cold harpies with hard rulers. See, the new atheists can attack belief systems all they want, as far as I'm concerned. But when they try to make a claim that those belief systems are exactly the same as religion in general, they take a very incorrect turn. There's plenty to attack about belief systems. James Carson, in an interview with Salon.com, gave a definition of belief systems I think you will recognize as a common, if misguided, definition of religion. He says, "A belief system is meant to be a comprehensive network of ideas about what one thinks is absolute and real and true. Within that system, everything is adequately explained and everything is perfectly reasonable. You know exactly how far to go with your beliefs and when to stop with your thinking. A belief system is defined by absolute authority, and that authority can be many things, a text, an institution, or a person. Belief systems, according to Carse, are structured ways of seeing the world which limit one's questioning and one's curiosity to only things within the scope of that belief system. Anything that conflicts with that belief system is automatically deemed incorrect, even evil, and any thoughtful conversation with someone who does not hold that belief system becomes impossible. It is a certain belief system about humanity, about the United States, and about the role of people in meting out justice that leads to Muslim extremism and terrorism. Religion is perhaps an entity too easily twisted into conformity with such belief systems, and it too often lends them credibility and power. But then again, so is politics. anything powerful can be pulled into the sway of an unbending belief system. And because religion is powerful, it is always at risk of being so used. But rigid belief systems that deal out violence and close us off from interconnection are not the very definition of religion. In fact, religion is a word that's so notoriously difficult to define that no two people ever agree, both because of the tremendous diversity contained within that word, and because there is something about religion that can't just be thought about. It has to be experienced. Religion is not simply a set of beliefs. It is a thousand different things, some of which can be harmful and some of which can be life-saving. And my contention is that religion needs to be saved from both the soul-crushing control of the fundamentalists and the trendy flippancy of dismissive atheists. In this world, we don't need more rigid belief systems. But many of us, including myself, do need religion. Using myself as an example, just because it's easier to pick on me than to pick on any of you, let me restate some of the facts. I do not believe just about anything that one typically associates with a believer. I do not assert the validity of the vast majority of points the new atheists live to tear apart. I do not think that my religion is right for everyone, or that I have really any of the answers. I would not kill or even mildly maim or lightly scratch anyone simply because they are not a Unitarian Universalist, or because their theological ideas are different from mine. But I am religious to my core. And when our cultural discourse dares to call religion nothing but delusion and religious people stupid, they are calling my life delusional, and they are calling me stupid. I am many things. Delusional perhaps sometimes. Uninformed often. But stupid? Not really. No stupider than the mourning mother who lights a candle in her Greek Orthodox sanctuary in honor of her dying son. No stupider than the Baptist church group who built 50 new houses in the Gulf states after Hurricane Katrina because Jesus taught them to love their neighbors. No stupider than the Buddhist monk who spends his days in poverty and prayer, showing everyone in his community what it is to live peacefully. No stupider than our brothers and sisters in the Episcopal church up the street, the mosque on Holy Road, or the rabbi who answers every question with a question. No stupider than any of them, and no smarter either. Harris said that religion is broken and delusional because it denies the vastitude of human ignorance. That's a fancy way of saying that religion is messed up because religious people think they know everything. And I contend that religion is relevant and important precisely because it is aware in a way no other institution has ever been in the course of human history of how enormous the things we do not know really are. Religion is healing and whole, and at its best, precisely when we are in the midst of a mystery and we are brave enough to stay there. Let us then be bold enough to answer questions with questions, to hold our beliefs lightly, gently, and reverently, so that there is room for deep interconnection and there is room when the time is right for us to change our minds. Let us be permeable to the world around us, affected by those we interact with. Let us, if we dare, and if we are willing, live religiously, free from the tyranny of creeds and the constriction of certainty. And let us show the world that people who go to church really aren't so stupid after all.